Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. Brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news, where it's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. About not ending in prayer, but moving to action. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father, deliver us from the evil one.
Welcome to Patriot Radio.
Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. Today on Patriot Radio, Russia and Israel ready offensives. And also, the Communist Revolution begins in earnest here in America, and the Irish bring us some encouragement. Our goal here at Patriot Radio is to bring you more accurate information than the legacy media so that you and your family can be prepared for the times that are ahead. In fact, the times that are already upon us. No fear. We were made for this. If you get the opportunity during this summer of harvest, and right now, please subscribe to us on Rumble, follow us on Telegram, like, share, comment, and help us beat the algorithms and get the message out. This last week was absolutely incredible. General Michael Flynn here in Spokane at On Fire Ministries. It was an absolutely amazing time. America's Future helping us to fight human trafficking and child exploitation was also here. Laura Logan did the panel on Friday. And what I saw was activation. I saw a lot of people coming together in unity across the community. I guess that kind of rhymes, Travis. In unity across the community to stop evil in its tracks and to push it back. So if you missed any of that, you can actually find it at On Fire Ministries. We are on Facebook, on YouTube, and across the board, on virtually every social media site, we are there. But if you want real-time intelligence feeds, make sure to follow us on Telegram, Patriot Radio on Telegram. We changed the name so we had two separate feeds just to clean things up a little bit. And in the next 30 to 60 days, it's going to be really imperative that you follow this and share what's happening in real-time with your friends and your family so things don't catch you off guard as they begin to come to a boiling point here in the United States. I want to talk today in the Bible teaching segment about Matthew chapter 22, and specifically verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. Now, it's interesting to me that we kind of miss what's in here. What Jesus is doing is he is giving us the eight aspects of humanity. He is showing us every part of ourselves that need to yield. So our spirit needs to yield. We actually call that salvation. Our soul needs to yield. And the word in Greek for soul there, psuche, it actually means not just the breath of life, it means your emotions need to yield, it means your will needs to yield to him, and it also means your identity needs to yield to him, who you are. Then the next word, diano, is for the mind, your reason, your intellect, that also needs to yield to the Lord. And so all of these things have to love the Lord, yield to the Lord. And notice I'm saying Lord and not Savior. When you give your life to Jesus, he is your Savior, but he is also needs to be the Lord of your life. And these aspects of humanity would not be complete if it didn't also say your body or your strength. So in the parallel verse in Mark chapter 12, it actually mentions the part about strength. And so our bodies also need to yield to the Lord. Then it talks about our neighbors as ourselves. Our relationships need to come into alignment with Jesus. Our finances need to come into alignment with Jesus. And what's very interesting about this, and for most of you, if you have never heard this before, the temple in Jerusalem was the picture of these eight aspects of humanity. The Holy of Holies was the place of the Spirit, or the presence. And notice the veil was torn so we could enter boldly into the throne room. So the throne room, then, God begins to work from the inside out. Evil attacks from the outside in. So the Holy of Holies representing the Spirit, the next room represents the soul. That's the holy place. And as you walked into it, on your right side, you had the table of showbread, 12 pieces of bread. You had wine and you had frankincense, clearly a symbol of Jesus. And then on the left side, you had the menorah, the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit represented there. And then in the front, you had the altar of incense, or the prayers of the saints. So the soul needs to yield to the Lord, and that's represented by that holy place. All aspects of the soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your identity. And then outside of the temple, immediately outside the entrance of the temple then, you have the altar of sacrifice. And each one of us is supposed to offer our bodies up as a living sacrifice to Him. Then beyond that, you had the courts where they would meet and they would talk. In fact, Jesus encountered the Pharisees there a lot. That is the representation of relationships, or love your neighbor as yourself. And then in the outer court, the outer portion of that temple courtyard was the court of the women, or the temple treasury. So when the widow came in to give her mites, that's where that happened. And Jesus was very clear that we need to give to Caesar what Caesar's, and God's what's God's. Now, what I find fascinating is it's actually a trick statement in that everything is indeed God. So your finances need to come into alignment with Jesus. So today, maybe you need deliverance from oppression in your finances, or in your personal relationships, or maybe in your health. I need to pray for anything that might be trying to oppress you, influence you, any demonic entity trying to do that. You can pray for that to leave in the name of Jesus. Maybe you need healing in one of those areas. And by His stripes we are healed, and you can lift that up to the Lord and receive the healing that He's already paid for in that area. But the fact remains, each of those eight aspects of humanity, Jesus wants to redeem and make whole. So let's get to doing that as His body, as His body, as His body in unity. So critical. Amen. And that brings us now to the good versus evil segment. Quite frequently, at least recently, there's been a great exposing of evil happening all over the country, inside the church and outside. And the problem quite oftentimes is Christians think they're doing the right thing, but they're actually not. They're actually becoming the tools of the communists and the jihadis. For example, in the Christian nationalist narrative, there's no such thing as good Christian nationalism or bad Christian nationalism. You're either a Christian and a nationalist, somebody that is a patriot that loves his country, or you're not. There's no such thing out there. People throw these terms around. They don't even know what they're talking about. Nobody who is a Protestant anyway can really say that they're a theocrat, that they believe in a theocracy, because actually that's what part of the Reformation was about. So you got people throwing this around inside the church. They have no clue what they're talking about, very uneducated, and all they're doing is parroting things that they've been told, and they think they're doing the right thing, but actually what they're doing is parroting an enemy narrative. This thing about Christian nationalism is it is a shaping operation to demonize Christians. So don't be the person who beats the fellow sheep. Okay, the scripture is very clear. Don't be that person. It is a shaping operation, an active measure put forward by the communists to try to split the body of Christ during 2024. So don't be the cause. And if you're saying fellow Christians are Christian nationalists and using it as a pejorative, you are the problem. You are the cause. And you're being used by the other side. That's just plain and simple. So don't be that. Don't do that. Don't become part as Lenin called them, useful idiots. Not my words, his. Part of the cadre that gets deceived into following a false narrative. I find it interesting that Rob Reiner's movie Nationally on Christian Nationalism as a pejorative happened at the same time that the PacPac folks up in North Idaho brought out a presentation on Christian nationalism. And it's just, it's false. It doesn't exist. What they're saying is a lie. And so we don't want to be Christians bearing false witness against other Christians. And we also don't want to be part of the problem that's actually helping the other side to divide the country and achieve their aims. So that's enough on what the enemy is doing. Let's talk about what we're going to do. And what we're going to do is spread the truth. What we're going to do is keep standing, keep leading, keep fighting. And it doesn't matter if somebody else does their own thing and starts criticizing you. Don't pay attention to them. Keep leading where God has placed you. But it's interesting how certain people are defining truth now. They're most afraid of the truth. They're most afraid of this area of the country. And they're most afraid of Christians coming together, understanding the threat, and knowing what to do about it. So we're going to roll this video from the former head of Wikipedia, and what the globalists believe on truth.
But what about the hard things, the places where we are prone to disagreement, say politics and religion?
Ah, yes.
Well, as it turns out, not only does Wikipedia's model work there, it actually works really well. Because in our normal lives, these contentious conversations tend to erupt over disagreement about what the truth actually is. But the people who write these articles, they're not focused on the truth. They're focused on something else, which is the best of what we can know right now. I've come to believe that they are onto something, that perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. One of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such...
You're admitting Wikipedia doesn't write the truth. That's interesting. That they're not concerned about the truth. And what I find fascinating about this is the enemy is going to admit this stuff going forward. So, you know, you look at Wikipedia pages for certain people, and it's like this gigantic smear job. And so she's admitting what they're doing. They're talking about what, well... people should be willing to accept. Continue the clip.
Human experience in all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths. I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you. But this may not be the same truth.
So let me ask a question really quick. Is math a truth? Is DNA a truth? In other words, God's truth written into creation. And the answer has to be yes. So truth does exist. And it's this kind of thing, what they're trying to do is confuse people. And they're trying to get people to divide. And the fact of the matter is, just because somebody has a disagreement with you, all right, doesn't give you the right as a Christian to beat your fellow Christians. Just because you see something doesn't mean you have the right to lie about it. And talking about the Christian nationalism narrative, as Christians, you don't have the right to work for the communists against fellow Christians. And that brings us now to a few more upcoming events. Now, we've had a lot going on in Spokane, but there's more. Tonight, April 30th, out at the Coeur d'Alene Resort, 7 o'clock. Bill Jasper is going to be there. How you can be involved and take local action in 2024. So there's going to be a lot of solutions talked about tonight. Look forward to seeing you all there. Also, coming up on May 31st, right here at On Fire Ministries in downtown Spokane, Sean Foyt will be here. 6 o'clock, we'll be doing a worship night, impartation night. You're not going to want to miss this. May 31st. So, a little over a month from now. And that brings us to your daily intelligence briefing. On the globalist front, and I love how the globalists are doing this quite frequently now, the WEF is boasting that 98% of central banks are adopting central bank digital currencies. In other words, what they're saying is, get ready, it's going to happen. The antidote to this, gold, silver, and maybe local currencies. Now, we've had those before, river dollars. Go look it up. It's historic down in the Columbia Gorge. Many more examples of that. But it looks like there's going to be a decentralization of currency happening if they go forward with central bank digital currencies, because CBDC is slavery. It is control. And that brings us now to the China front. Coming to us from Indo-Pac News, Chinese Coast Guard vessels fired water cannons at a Philippine Coast Guard ship today at the Scarborough Shoal. The ship was damaged, and the Chinese also installed a 380-meter barrier at the entrance of the shoal. Again, this is a flashpoint. We're going to continue watching this. I mean, a war could start literally over a shoal in that part of the world. Wow, the Asia Pacific. Also, is China stockpiling resources in case of future war? China is deliberately stockpiling at speed, part of a much wider national effort to accumulate essential raw materials and resources. Give a couple examples of that. Russian crude is coming into China, 31.5 million barrels of oil. You have food stockpiles coming into China. You've got rare earth minerals stockpiles happening. China obviously is preparing for a war that would be World War III. And that brings us to the Middle East front. Coming to us from Gateway Pundit, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded strongly to reports that the International Criminal Court may soon issue arrest warrants for him and other senior officials. This is on the eve of what appears to be the imminent invasion of Rafah right now. And that ground maneuver looks like it is going to happen here in the next 48 to 72 hours. Might happen sooner, might be delayed a little bit. But they are clearly staging tanks and armored personnel carriers there. So Netanyahu said this: the International Criminal Court in The Hague is contemplating issuing arrest warrants against senior Israeli government and officials as war criminals. This would be an outrage of historic proportions. And I agree with a lot of the analysts about this, that if the ICC does this, then it really loses all legitimacy because it's now become a political weapon. That brings us now to the Russia front. Coming to us from Visegrad 24, the German Bild is reporting that its sources in the Ukrainian army believe Russia could launch an assault on Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, here very soon. They say 40,000 Russian soldiers are preparing for that attack. Also, tens of thousands of Georgians are now protesting in Tbilisi as the parliament starts to pass a Russian-style foreign agents law. The protesters argue the law would sabotage Georgia's effort to join the EU. It's interesting, they were holding up EU flags and all kinds of things, and it looks like there is another potential flashpoint in Georgia similar to Ukraine in 2012-2014. And that brings us to the South America front. Coming to us from Citizen Free Press, Nayib Bukele, the president there in El Salvador, brought all of his key advisors and cabinet into a room and then said, I'm ordering the attorney general to investigate all of us for bribery because we don't want the legacy to be that we were corrupt. Amazing what this guy is doing down there in El Salvador. And that brings us now to the national front. Coming to us from several different sources, I want to just read this quote. As it relates to this book, the relationship is best summed up by Ilyak Ramirez Sanchez, a.k.a. Carlos the Jackal. Okay, so talking about the relationship between communists and the jihadis, which is what we're seeing at Columbia University. And here's what it says, quote, only a coalition of Marxists and Islamists can destroy the United States. Wow. That brings us to something posted by John Guandolo. CARE is Hamas, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist group. CARE equals terrorists. This is what he was stating earlier, and he's been teaching about this for a long time, but here's why I want to bring this up. Hamas, working in the United States with the communists, is what we are seeing, and different permutations, it's not as cut and dry as that, is what we're seeing on these universities, and what they're planning on doing is using those universities as launching pads for riots and civil unrest over the summer and into the election. Kyle Scheidler put it this way: one of the more important things to remember is that these kinds of protests are organized to strike multiple targets simultaneously, even internationally, to create the impression of a mass resistance that doesn't actually exist. I completely agree. Communists always try to make themselves look bigger than they actually are. So let's drill down a little bit into who is behind these things, and then we need to ask the question, who's funding it? So there are violent communist groups here in the United States. They have put out things online that express violent intent. Antifa, John Brown Gun Club, Socialist Rifle Association, and also Redneck Revolt. Well, in addition to that, I want to introduce you to Extinction Rebellion. Coming to us from OSINT Defender, this particular person, Lisa Fithian, an American activist, was caught on camera giving orders to the protesters at Columbia College. And it is very clear, and I agree with these analysis that by OSINT Defender, that these protests are being led by professional activists, anarchists, and communists who are not students at the schools. So here's the video, if we could show that video of Lisa Fithian giving orders to students on how to riot. Well, she was involved in the violent Seattle protests in 1999 and also is a member of Extinction Rebellion. Let's pull that map up here really quick if we can. So Extinction Rebellion has several chapters in the Inland Northwest, but it also has chapters around the country. So if you've never heard of them before, you have now. And this, again, is the news behind the news. And that brings us lastly to the Gateway Pundit, some good news. State prosecutors won't retry Arizona rancher George Kelly. The nightmare is over. Wow. And some encouragement. And I want you to hear this today. Yeah, there's a regional bank collapse happened over the weekend. Okay, fine. There's a lot of instability happening right now. But when we come together, they can't win. The globalists can't win. The communists can't win. The jihadis can't win. And I want you to hear this video. In Ireland, there has been a huge push to try to take over Ireland with illegal immigration, among many other things. And the Irish now are pushing back. Roll the clip. Thousands of Irish gathered.
You'll never beat the Irish.
And you'll never beat the Americans. Keep up the fight.